welcome to the Layer 8 Podcast Season 3, culminating with the Layer 8 Conference on Saturday, October 8th in Providence, Rhode Island. This season, we'll have conversations with social engineers and OSINT investigators who will tell their stories. We hope you enjoy them.
Welcome to another episode of the Layer 8 Podcast. We have an extra special guest for you today. We have Sylvain Hadji. Welcome, Sylvain.
Hi, nice to meet you. Thank you very much for the invitation.
For the benefit of our listeners, could you give a little bit of an introduction about who you are?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, so sorry for my English accent. I mean, I'm French, so nobody is perfect. Sorry. But my name is Sylvain Hadji. Maybe you know me on Twitter as Navlis. To begin, I'm the founder of the company Epios, an OSINT tool online, and I'm also the co-founder of the OSINT community called OSINTFR.com. That is a global community who talk about OSINT, organize some meetings, and in a nutshell, this is who am I.
That's great, and welcome from so many thousands of miles away. It's always great to be able to talk to people that aren't always in the United States. I like to get more diverse opinions and thoughts and experiences, so it's great to have you here from France. So you founded the company Epios. What does Epios do?
Epios, it's an online tool that permits you to perform a reverse email address search on different social media. So for example, you will put any email address. It can be a Gmail address, it can be a professional email address, or like ProtonMail or that kind of stuff. And basically, we're going to dig on the different social media, like more than 15 social media, in order to give you the real account behind an email address. So for example, when you will have an email address, johndoe@gmail.com, our software will tell you that there is an account on Skype that named John Doe, on LinkedIn that named John Doe, and maybe you don't see how it can be helpful for those investigations. But for example, we work a lot with law enforcement agencies who use it, for example, in order to know with especially with the tool Olé, who was developed by the French guy Palenas. We created an online version of it. And so this tool will tell you where an email address is registered on which website. So for example, will tell you that an email address is registered on Amazon or on Deliveroo, that kind of stuff. And so basically, it's pretty interesting for law enforcement agencies because they know right now that the target has a Deliveroo account. And so they will be able to contact Deliveroo team and say, okay, we need to perform a legal request about this email address and then to have more stuff. So basically, Epios, we are like an OSINT tool who will give pivot, you know, to the OSINT analyst. And the other stuff, it's like we're going to dig on different social media in order to tell you that when you put an email address, we'll tell you, okay, we have the email address johndoe@protomail.com, but maybe we will find a LinkedIn account with the name, Andre. You will perform the search on LinkedIn. And so with the John Doe email address, and maybe on LinkedIn, you will find another name with Andre Doe or that kind of stuff. And so it will be pretty easy for you, for the OSINT analyst, to know, okay, so I know my target is using, for example, a specific account on LinkedIn, a specific Puppet account in order to investigate on the specific companies or to spread some misinformation or that kind of stuff. And so that kind of stuff is very useful. Us at Epios, we have several stuff. So, I mean, there is some competitors who do like us, but us, it's like a freemium. So you can use it for free on epios.com for the Google. So if you put an email address, it will give you like the past Google reviews of your target, the last update when he changed his Google account. And so this is pretty useful. For example, if you investigate on terrorism case to know if an account is still active or not, or also on cyber threat intel. For example, you put in jail an APT groups or ransomware groups, and you will see, thanks to our tool, that the account changed like 2 days ago. Okay, so the account is not inactive. So maybe we will have some more hacks in the future. And so it's pretty interesting to find this kind of stuff. And so we do not log the queries of the people because I'm from the hacking scene, you know. I'm from InfoSec, and privacy, it matters a lot for me. So I don't want to log that kind of stuff. And also, it's better for us for GDPR, you know. If you do not log stuff, that you will not have a problem with GDPR. And also, another stuff that is very important for us, it's we do not alert the target. So all the tools we developed, it will never alert the target. I mean, we have some techniques, some specific social medias that are very interesting, but we cannot implement it because there is a risk, for example, when chains on 100 or that kind of stuff, that the target will be alert. And so us, it's we don't want to provide that kind of stuff because if you work in a sensitive case, if your target used a specific email address and see that somebody is trying to log on this email address, that kind of stuff, it will say, okay, I was detected, so I have to stop all my activity. So yeah, basically, it's the stuff that we do. And we've created APOs first because I've done a lot of trainings for journalists, for law enforcement, that kind of stuff. And everybody told me, wow, Sylvain, it's pretty nice, your trainings, but we are not able to use Python. We do not know how to use Linux. And I was like, okay, no problem. I will create like a web version. And first of all, it was free with the Gmail account finder, and so we published this on our website. And like 3 or 4 months after March, from we created the Gent, published Gent on GitHub, so open source. And it's like it's normal, you know. You have to have some softwares open source for people who want to dig and to investigate to know, okay, how it works exactly. But you also need some softwares for people who do not how to use Linux, that kind of stuff. So, and after we implement Ole from Palinas, and we done some R&D, and the first modules we implement are still free. And yeah, because we are as internalists, you know, so we want also to share the OSINT patient, the OSINT hobby, and also to help the OSINT analyst. And yeah, for sure, there is some private modules because we have to leave, you know.
I think that's really great looking at that tool that you have. And I like the idea of how you mentioned that it is all passive OSINT, that the target that gets put in there never gets notified. And I'm just looking at the site now where I put my own email address in there, and some of the sites that it's looking for whether I have an account at, like Discord, GitHub, Imgur, Nike, Samsung, Spotify. There's all kinds of places in here. One thing that I also really like about this is just recently I was, I think, looking through the OSINT community on Reddit, and somebody was asking, what can you do with just an email address? And I think your website, your tool is going to prove exactly that, where that's all you need is just a single email address. And if anybody wants to check this out, you can just go to epieos.com to find it and to test this out. So it really does seem great about all this different information that you can get off of just a single email address. And it really does seem to lead into, in addition to how you talked about law enforcement, but also for an individual doing an investigation, doing pivoting. Can you talk a little bit about how you've seen people be able to pivot off of a single email address and then start to open up a whole lot more information in their investigation?
Yeah, for sure. First, I forgot to mention it, but you can use APOs also for OPSEC reasons. If you want to dig on yourself to know, okay, what is my exposure on the internet, and what a threat, for example, can use, which kind of information you can use to perform some attacks. Me, I used a lot, for example, before in social engineering's audits. and also for phishing or vishing, that kind of stuff. Because if you put an email address, you find, for example, 2 days ago, the target just note 5 stars on Google Maps, a specific restaurant. Okay, so I know that I will be able to send an email to the target and to spoof the email address from the restaurant and say, hey, thank you very much for your visit and for the review on Google. If you click here, we can give you a free meal or 20% of, on your next visit or that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's pretty scary. Me, I use a lot in demo, for example, the email address of a former minister of interior in France. And you will see all the restaurants you visit and that kind of stuff. And a few days ago, we just published a new module that will find you the Airbnb profile. And so if you put an email address, you find the Airbnb profile. And also, you will see, for example, that the target, for example, when he rent an Airbnb, with who and where. So it's pretty sensitive information, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's open source. About pivoting, it's pretty interesting because when I show the first proof of concept of FPOs to people who do not use OSINT, it was like I don't remember. I just show, for example, a fake email address. It was like xyz@protonmail.com. And I found just the real name behind this email address and without any Google review or that kind of stuff. And I show that to the guys. And they told me, okay, but your product, it does not work, you know? I was like, what do you mean it doesn't not work? I mean, yeah, we just have the name and that's it. I said, yeah, maybe, but you cannot understand. Like when you are a OSINT analyst or when you do anything like law enforcement or that kind of stuff, just one information can be very, very critical, you know, and can unlock your investigation. For example, we had some client who told me they worked in a terrorism email address, and the email address, the account of this target was like they didn't show activity since 2 years, for example. And I was like, they was like, okay, we think that guy was killed or maybe he died because there is no more activity on Facebook, on Twitter, that kind of stuff. And they used our software with the email address. They saw the last update that was like a change 2 months ago. And they were like, okay, it's just a sleepy account. And okay, so we know that there is still somebody behind this email address and behind the accounts. Also, maybe you heard about Brian Laundrie, you know, the guy who killed his wife in the US. It's not well known in Europe, but in the US, it's pretty known. And so it's very interesting because we have an article on the media, The Sun, who talked about APOs, because when he killed his wife, some OSINT investigators used the APOs and saw the last update, like, okay, Brian Laundrie is still alive because he changed his Google account. And so it's pretty interesting. And you said, okay, last update, it's just a date. Maybe it can be not very interesting, but it helped law enforcement agencies. Okay, the guy is a fugitive. We can still look that guy. And maybe we can ask Google, for example, to have the last logs of his account, of his connectivity on Google. So yeah, that's basically the stuff that we help. Or maybe, for example, you will have a Skype and you will have the date of birth of the target. And just that you will be able to find on the leaks, for example, you will search just this date of birth and you will find the other email address of the guy. Or maybe we have a module like on Strava, you know, the sports app. And thanks to the email address, you will find all the run of your target and you will know where he live and how much he ran, when he's not in his home, or that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's little information each time that can help you to unlock your investigation and to go deeper.
And a lot of those examples sound extremely creepy. because you started off by talking about a restaurant review. So you know that somebody was at a restaurant recently, and maybe they even mentioned what they ate at that restaurant. And then you talked about Airbnb. So now you know where they're going on vacation and maybe what types of things that they did on their vacation. And just some of these different things that you can target people with is it really feels creepy with being able to watch them like this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's pretty important for me, because before IPOs, I've created a CTF of like red teaming. It was called the Spying Challenge, and it was created in 2016. And first I've created that in order to train the guys who want to work in red teaming and social engineering and that kind of stuff. It was inspired for sure of SECTF and the Gringo, what is the name of the competition, you know, in the DEF CON with lock picking and Gringo CTF or that kind of stuff, I think. And so basically each year we've created a fake company, and with 12 employees or that kind of stuff. All the employees are actors, are comedians, you know. And you have 2 weeks to dig on the company, to dig on the employees in order to prepare you attacks or that kind of stuff of social engineering. And so after we qualified the 12 best team in the world, and they came in Paris, and there is some tracking, some that kind of stuff, some lockpicking with safes, there is some tailgating, that kind of stuff. And so why I talk about that, it's because in Azint, it's like in any company, when you talk about cyber security, the first thing, it's awareness. And so you have to train the guys to use Azint properly. You will not have to use Azint to dox people or that kind of stuff. And so, because for sure, I mean, any Azint tool can be abused, you know, and can be used for bad things. And we do not that kind of stuff. And so that's why I've created with a friend of me, the community azintfr.com in 2019, because we wanted to show to the people, okay, Azint is not stalking. You can use it for nice things. And there is a lot of like strip kiddies or that kind of stuff who say, yeah, I want to perform Azint. And we say, okay, but your stuff, no, it's not that good. But look, there is, for example, the Stop Child Abuse Project from Interpol or from Europol, sorry. Or there is Red Notice for Interpol. And you can use Azint for good things. You can find some people who perform child abuse or that kind of stuff, and you work with law enforcement. I mean, you will not do like justice for yourself or that kind of stuff. You can participate to TraceLab, CTF or that kind of stuff. And so it's also our objective to train the people who want to know more about Azint, and to train them to not use, for example, the reset passwords on the Facebook because it will alert the target or that kind of stuff. So yeah, it takes a long time, but we tried by all our project to train people to use Azint for good stuff and not for bad stuff.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned that it is something where you can look up yourself and see what kind of information that you're giving out about your own self for awareness. For example, I use Strava, and of course, Strava posts out to the world exactly when you're doing your exercise. I like to run, so it shows my route. And one of the things that I noticed with that is if you check a few of them, you kind of get an idea of where my house is, because chances are I'm starting and finishing from my house. So eventually, just because of my own awareness through that, I was able to figure out like, well, let me lock this down and not make my workouts completely public. I'm just going to share them with particular people, or maybe others will don't want to share that at all, want to make that completely private. You mentioned a little bit about your spying challenge to help people understand this a little bit. And I was looking into that a little bit, and it looks like so much fun. You even created trailer videos, I think, for your Beret Jaunes a few years ago. Is this something that you're still doing? Is this something that people can still get involved with and try some more? And can you talk a little bit more about what it is, how you came up with this idea, and how does this work?
Well, it's a lot of work. I mean, you have to, it's a 1 year work. So it's a lot of work. Me, when I've because me before I was a former cybersecurity consultant, and I was always you know, I always loved OSINT and like lockpicking, like physical intrusions, like red teaming, that kind of stuff. And when I was a student, I was like, okay, how can I find a work as a red teamer or as a social engineer, but without any experience? How can I do that? And how can I do that legally, you know? Because I mean, I want to respect the law. And so I had the chance to have some friends who worked in some companies. And first of all, I've done some physical intrusions audits for free, you know, like red teaming for free. And after I had the chance, I worked in a company, in a French company called Digital Security. And I work on the red teaming on big companies and small companies and that kind of stuff. And I've made some trainings, that kind of stuff. And a lot of people tell me like, okay, how can I do it? So I've begun to give some, I'm a lecturer in several universities in France. I was like, okay, it's not enough, because it's like, so it's like cybersecurity, you know, if you want your employee respect the process, the security process, he have to be victim one day, for example, of a social engineer attack. And then he will say, oh, okay, one time I was victim of social engineering attack. Okay, next time I will not be that victim. And so you have to give experience to people. And so that's why I've created the spying challenge. It's because to give some experience to the guys who want to work in red teaming. And it's pretty funny because after that, a lot of people worked on the resume, like, okay, I was the winner of spying challenge, that kind of stuff. And yeah, because I've tried to do what I've done on red teaming attacks. Okay, so you have to first dig on a company. Okay, does the company is a legit company or not? You have to do some due diligence. What are the clients of the company? And after, okay, imagine that you want to perform a cyber attack on that company. So you have to have like a report on each employees. What are the hobbies of the employees? So maybe you will, in order to prepare your phishing or your spear phishing attacks. And after, okay, then you will begin the physical intrusion and that kind of stuff. For the moment, I didn't do it this year because it's a lot of work. But the past, we've done 3 editions of the spying challenge. The last edition was with a fake privacy military company like Blackwater or that kind of stuff, or Wagner. It was called Lictor.fr, I guess. You can still find the website on archive.org or that kind of stuff. Or also on the website spyingchallenge.com, we've put the trailers or that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it was very funny because we've done a video of the presentation of the company. And in this video, you have to perform some join to, for example, they said in the video, okay, we trained our guys in our secret gym. And so you have to perform join to find where is the secret gym of the company. You will find some phone numbers. Then you will be able to call the people to hear some conversation or to know who is behind the phone or that kind of stuff. So yeah, maybe I will do it more in the future, but I don't know. It's a lot of work, and we'll see.
Yeah, that sounds like that's an incredible amount of work and probably an incredible amount of money too. But one of the things that I really like that you emphasize in there is often when I talk to other people who try to teach people that are either students or just learning OSINT is the value of validation, that the first bit of information that they find may not be correct, that you need to actually validate the information that's correct. And it sounds like in your competition, you do emphasize that. And it is a really good way for competitors and students in there to learn that the first bit of information that you found might not be fully accurate, and you need to go validate that information.
Yeah, because I mean, in the real world, you will not have that kind of stuff. I mean, if you are an intelligence analyst, you work on a terrorism case, and you will start, for example, a chat with somebody. So to be clear, chats with someone is not OSINT anymore. I mean, for me, it's a social engineering, because OSINT, it's you will not have to interact with the target. But in real life, you work, I don't know, on a specific terrorism forum, and you will try to chat with somebody, and maybe the guy is a law enforcement agency guy, you know? It's just a fad. And okay, but it's the real life, you know? And it's your work as an analyst to know, I am sure that guy will be a target. And it's pretty, it's not always easy, you know, but it's what it gives you some skills. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's also not always easy, because I've interacted with some people who are very concerned about their OPSEC, and they will intentionally put wrong information out there about themselves. They might have two or three different LinkedIn pages or a few different social media pages, and some of them have intentionally wrong information on there. And if you just assume that that's correct, you might be leading off into a wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's pretty interesting in OPSEC. Me, when I give all my OPSEC trainings or that kind of stuff, for sure, for the people, for the listeners who don't know about OPSEC and that kind of stuff, I recommend for sure the Michael Basel books and resources in OPSEC, also in OSINT. I mean, it's pretty nice. But after, if you want to know more, for example, on OSINT in China or that kind of stuff, you have to find other resources. I mean, Michael Basel is pretty nice in the US and in the rest of the world in general, but you have to train a lot on specific areas. But on OPSEC, it's pretty funny, because people say, okay, but that kind of stuff, for example, I will create an account on LinkedIn, for example. And so you will say, okay, I will create the account on LinkedIn, I will put a fake name, but you will use your real email address. And you will say, yeah, but it's a confidential email address. I mean, it's confidential. I mean, the people cannot see on my profile my email address. Yeah, maybe. But maybe there is some OSINT technique who will be available in a few months. Or maybe there is a leak in the few months, and you will leak your real email address and with the fake names. So it's not because it's not available today that it means that it will be never available. And so it's pretty funny, because our clients use a lot of APIs on that kind of stuff, for example, to investigate on cybercrime or that kind of stuff. And you will see like basic OPSEC fails. Seriously, it's like the guy use a sock puppet email address, but he used his email address to register, for example, on Duolingo, you know, the app to learn some languages and that kind of stuff, like Babel or that kind of stuff, you know, to learn French, to learn Russian, to learn English, Japanese, or that kind of stuff. And it was like, okay, with that kind of stuff, you were able to find the real name of the guy, and you were able to know that the guy was a Russian who tried to learn English, you know? And you're like, okay, but on your sock puppets, you from New York and that kind of stuff. And and there is a lot of OPSEC fails. So for cybercrime, hopefully there is some fails, but be careful when you are an investigator or that kind of stuff, because you can be a victim of that. And if you investigate on the wrong persons, you know, you can have some problems of your life. It's like a lot of people say that, for example, on OSINT Afar, yeah, I want to investigate on terrorism or on child abuse. Whoa, be careful. First, be careful, because you can see some sensitive images. And there is a very, very nice article on the internet who talk about that, how as an OSINT analyst, you can be careful, you know, when you see sensitive images or that kind of stuff. So first, you have to be trained for that. You have to have some awareness on that, because it can happen to anybody. And secondly, it's be careful, because if you perform an OSINT, an OPSEC fail, for example, on your OSINT investigator, maybe the guy will try to find you, and you know, you can have some problem for your personal life or your family or that kind of stuff. So it's not always that fun. Oh, I found somebody on the internet and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, there is some risk. And so that's why we also are here to train and to do some awareness to the people.
When I was looking into you a little bit, especially on Twitter, one of the things that I noticed is that you do a lot of things. Usually when I look into people, they have, you know, one or two things that they're into. And if people want to find you on Twitter, they can find you at Navalis and then an underscore. So N-A-V-L-Y-S underscore. And you'll see that there's a whole bunch of other things that you do there, which is just incredible.
In my other project, I also run a Twitter account called Miocene Job. And so because I was like, okay, so I've done the spying challenge, but now there is a lot of people who ask me like, okay, how can I work in OSINT? And I was like, come on, there is a lot of job offer in OSINT. There is a lot in the US, especially in the US, because I mean, in France and in the US, it's not the same mindset of that kind of stuff, you know, in OSINT. But I was like, okay, I have to help the guys who want to find a job in OSINT. And so I've created that Twitter account just for fun, you know, and I was like, I've put some alerts on LinkedIn on specific job works, but also my friends, you know, because I have a lot of friends across the globe who work in specific companies and are looking for OSINT investigators or that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, I will just create a Twitter account and a LinkedIn page just to put all the job offers. And a few months after, Laurent Baudot from OSINT Curious created the website osintjobs.com. That is pretty nice, and he do better the job than me. And yeah, I can recommend OSINT Jobs, the website of Laurent, because he also run a podcast on how to work in OSINT and that kind of stuff. And it's pretty interesting. I've done an interview of Laurent on OSINTFR podcast. So if you want to find, it's like it's called OSINT Origins. So it's the podcast I've created on OSINTFR.com. And so because I was curious, because everybody told me like, oh, OSINT is the new buzzwords and that kind of stuff. And I was like, come on, me in 2012, I've done OSINT. And nobody called that OSINT, I mean, in France, or that kind of stuff. It was like, I don't know if for example, if you are a pen tester, it was like passive reconnaissance, you know, before a pen test. Or it was all that kind of stuff. And I was like, come on, you have to create a podcast. You have to interview guys who know OSINT from the past, you know. And so, for example, for the first episode, we interviewed a French journalist called Jean-Marc Manac. There is a French, there is English subtitles in our YouTube channels. And so he talked how he began in OSINT in 1990. And because before he worked on as a journalist on cinema or that kind of stuff, and he was curious, okay, I will try to grab all the flyers, we'll talk about specific cinema rooms or that kind of stuff in France, and I will grab everything and I will do like in a nutshell a resume or that kind of stuff on that. And it's pretty interesting. It's the guy who worked on Strava, and he was able a few years ago to find 20 or 30 guys from the French intelligence services on Strava. So it was pretty funny and scary also. But yeah, and I was like, yeah, we have to create like I don't want to lose that knowledge, you know. It's like I love the past hacking scene, you know. I don't know if you like, for example, the movies Hackers or War Games or that kind of stuff, you know. I like that kind of vibes with BBS, with a lot of stuff. And I was like, okay, but there is a lot of people who've done amazing stuff in the 90s. And yeah, it's so sad that that there is not a trace of that on the internet. So yeah, we will interview that kind of guys and all across the globe, because if you just interview the guys from France, yeah, it's interesting. But when it's interesting, it's when you interview a guy from Middle East, from the US, from Asia, that kind of stuff, because it's different mindset. But you also have to interview guys who are journalists, guys who work in cybersecurity, guys who work in legal, you know, like a jurist or that kind of stuff. And so when I've created with the OSINTFR community, I was like, okay, it's called OSINTFR, but I don't want to be only a French community. I want, like, we have to aggregate, we have to to put everybody from all nationality, from all jobs together, because you will it will be the best way to learn from peoples, you know. I'm trying to do a lot of projects. it's not always the best, but maybe I have to focus more on one thing. But maybe it's the patient who talk, you know.
Yeah, it's great, all the things that you do. And it seems like when I talk to people, and most people in the OSINT field do mention that, like, I've been doing this for years, and it's only recently that people started calling it OSINT. It was always just kind of, like you said, doing the passive reconnaissance or doing an investigation. And I think people don't always think about how old the actual techniques are. Like, investigative journalism has been there forever, or even private investigators have been there forever. One of the questions that I had when I was first learning about it is, in my head, OSINT was primarily for a private investigator. And that does certainly seem like a valid career if you like to do OSINT investigations, to be an investigator. But typically, what are some of the other jobs or careers that you see that people can do that they might not necessarily think of that would have a strong OSINT component to them?
Yeah, it's a very, very nice question, because a lot of people think that you have to work in cybersecurity or like a private investigator to perform OSINT. So I'm also a board member of the nonprofit organization, the Hackers Voice, that organized the biggest hacking event in France. It's called Le Hack. Before, it was La Nuit du Hack, Hacking Night. And we aggregate like 4,000 people during our event. So yeah, it's not DEF CON, you know, but it's one of the biggest events in France. And this year I've created like a OSINT village with some talks and that kind of stuff. And one objective for me was, okay, I will have like six or seven speaking slots. And I have to find some people from different jobs or that kind of stuff in each slot. I don't want it. For sure, it's a hacking event. It's an information security event. But I want to show to people you can do OSINT in anything. So the first talk was from Gendarmerie Nationale. It's like a French law enforcement agency. And they talk how they use OSINT. And for example, they talked about maybe, you know, Overpass Turbo, the software Overpass Turbo. For example, you have a picture, and on this picture, you want to geolocate this picture, and you will see a church at 100 meters, and you will see a pharmacy at 15 meters, and you will see highways at 25 meters. And so you will put all that kind of information on the software, and it will give you across the globe, thanks to OpenStreetMap, all the places that have this kind of with a church, with a pharmacy, with railways and that kind of stuff. And so, but French law enforcement agencies have the problem. For example, there is some analysts who are not able to use Python. And so they just developed a software in order to say that, for example, if somebody is calling for emergency, like 911, and said, oh, I don't know where I am, but I see there is a Walmart, and there is like a church, and there is that kind of stuff. And so the guy at the phone from 911 can put all the information, and then they can say, okay, maybe it's this city, and they can send the emergency team or that kind of stuff. And so it was pretty interesting also to know how the law enforcement agencies use OSINT, and what is the limit. Are they allowed, for example, in France to use leaks, to use data leaks, you know? Because in France, we cannot use data leaks in OSINT investigations, because it's considered as buying something that is stolen. So you cannot use it on investigations. And so it's pretty interesting. The second talk was from a cyber threat intel company called On Security, and they done an investigation on Killnet. It's a Russian cyber crime team. And after we had a talk from Camille Dolé, a private investigator in France, but specialized in art traffic. And so she done a talk how you can use OSINT to find, for example, stolen paint, stolen arts, that kind of stuff. It was very interesting, and it's in a hacking event, you know. And there is a lot of stuff. You can see, for example, I don't know if you know the company Shadowbreak Intel. During the beginning of the war, they took all the SIGINT stuff from Ukraine, you know, and they were able to intercept the insecure radio communication of the Russians military. And so they hired some linguists, some guys who are able to, some Russian-speaking guys, to do some translate or that kind of stuff. And so that kind of stuff, okay, you have some linguists, you have some guys who are not able, for example, to use a computer, but they will use OSINT because and SIGINT, you know, because they will grab some public information from radio communication in order to create intelligence. So in my opinion, everybody can use OSINT and everybody is using OSINT. You have a business, and I have some clients, for example, companies who are business developers and they use our tool to know if somebody, for example, if a client will put a 5 stars or 1 star on Google review. You can use it on Cyber Threat Intel or as a red teamer. You want to send a spear phishing attack on a target. And so you will use APOs, for example, because you don't know if it's last name dot first name at company.com or if it's just the first letter or that kind of stuff. And so you can do all the possibility on the APOs, and when you have a result, it means that the email address exists, and so that you can guess all the email address of the company. So in my opinion, everybody is using OSINT, but the people do not know it's called OSINT, just that, you know.
You've mentioned Python a couple times, and I think when people are starting out in the field, they either get excited about or have fear of having to learn a scripting language, programming language. What is your advice to people about whether they must learn something like Python or whether it's a good idea? What's your feeling about learning Python?
Nice question. It depends because for me, OSINT, it's like cybersecurity. It's like it's a huge domain. And so in cybersecurity, you have like 20 or 30 different jobs. You know, you can work as a cyber threat intel. You can work as an IT architect. You can work in a lot of stuff. And it's the same in OSINT. I mean, you can perform OSINT without Python. It's possible. When you have guys like Skip Sherpost work for AI Intelligence, he provides some trainings on the OSINT to Chinese, OSINT on Chinese. He do not use Python, you know. You can do some investigation without Python. I don't know. For example, you want to use gent on Python, and after you want to use Maigret from Soxoi to investigate on a username or that kind of stuff. Okay, you will see. Oh, I'm not able to use Python, but gent, for example, you can use APOs, and after the tool of Soxoi Maigret, you can use what's my name.app. That is pretty useful, and it's a web version. You know, you will always find a way to perform the stuff like Python. But if you want to learn Python, there is a lot of resources to learn Python. It depends what you want to do. Do you want to learn Python to develop some softwares, or do you want to learn the basic Python stuff just to run Python softwares? And so for that, it's easier, you know. It's just basic stuff like how to run a virtual machine and how to install, for example, to do a Git clone. So it's in order to download some Python, for example, script in OSINT, and just to run it. You will find a lot of resources on the internet. Just as like cybersecurity and OSINT, be curious. Try to find. It will take some time for sure, but maybe it will be useful for you. It depends what are your priority.
All right. The question that I always ask people that come on here, what advice do you have for somebody just starting out in the OSINT field? Somebody comes to you and says, I'm just starting. What should I think about?
It's a nice question because I always told that question on my podcast. So, you know, it's difficult to answer on my side. The first thing that I would say to somebody, it's be curious. It's like, I love hackers or that kind of stuff. So hack the planet, you know, it's like us in the planet. You have to do some investigation for yourself. Because if you are waiting somebody who gonna give you some money to perform an investigation, yeah, maybe you can find it. But you have to be curious. You have to dig. You have to say, for example, okay, I will try to go on the DHS, for example, website and to find some fugitive or on Interpol or on that kind of stuff. And I will try to do an investigation, or I will try to do due diligence on a company just for fun, just to train, or on a scam. And it will be the best way to learn how to perform OSINT investigations. The other stuff is, do not think OSINT, it's only about tools. You do not need tools in OSINT, seriously. You just need the feeling to be curious. If you want to dig on anything, if you want to understand how it works, it's like reverse engineering, you know? If you want to understand how it works, it will be the best stuff to have some skills in OSINT. And you have to read some books, you have to read some articles. I mean, there is some nice articles. For example, if you read articles from Bellingcat or OSINT Curious, it's pretty nice. There is tutorial, for example, to learn how to perform OSINT on a email address, on a domain, on all that kind of stuff. And if you read some investigations, for example, or on osintfr.com, on Bellingcat, or that kind of stuff, you will understand how the writer done the investigation, and you will say, oh, okay, he used that. Oh, maybe I can use that on my investigation too. So yeah, be curious. Read a lot articles, investigation, and that kind of stuff, and perform your own investigation also. And yeah, the fourth stuff, it's talk with the OSINT community. Seriously, it's pretty easy. There is a lot of Discords in or Slack or that kind of stuff. There is OSINTion, there is OSINT Curious, there is OSINTFR, there is Bellingcat. There is a lot of resources. Just chat with the guys, and it will be the best way. Go at the event if you can. Go at Layer 8 for sure in virtual stuff, because you will learn a lot. The conference are very, very, very interesting. And so it will be the best way to know when a job will be available, and to talk with the other guys. It will be the best way to learn the skills of the other guys. And it's a trade, you know? You have to give to receive.
Sylvain Hadry, also known as Navlis on Twitter, thank you so much for joining us on the Layer 8 podcast. This has been great.
Thank you very much, Patrick. And it will be, it was a pleasure, sorry. And so sorry for the listeners for my English. You know, I try to improve, but, and for sure, to all the listeners, you are welcome in France, in Europe. And if you are in France, do not hesitate to DM me, to send me a message. It's always a pleasure to meet different people from OSINT community or from a social engineering community. And thank you very much for the invitation.